Jesus Christ hears and forgives. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you enter into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. Now when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, "Certainly this man was innocent." And all the crowds that had assembled for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, returned home beating their breasts. And all his acquaintances and the women who had followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things.
I spent my summers as a boy at a wilderness camp in the Adirondacks of New York. There were no showers. We bathed in the lake with a bar of ivory soap. There were no toilets. We had outhouses. My mom packed me a toothbrush. I never used it. Of course, there were no washing machines or dryers. And so after spending weeks roughing it, getting muddy and dirty in the Adirondack Mountains, when I would come home, my dad would leave my luggage in the front yard. My mom and I would sort through it. There was no way she was gonna let these moldy, mildewy, crawling on their own clothes into their house. Often we had a garbage bag with us. We would go through the clothing, we would pick up a shirt or what remained of it, and she would throw it out. Anything we did save, she would carry down the outdoor steps into the basement and bring them directly to the washer and dryer. She would never let these smelly clothes in her house. I often come home, and as I open the front door, I notice a smell. It's my boys' sneakers, their soccer cleats. And I often think of the reality of sorting through my summer camp clothes with my mom as I lean down and pick the shoes up and place them at the front porch and close the door behind them. I don't want the smelly shoes in my house. I don't want moldy clothes in my house. No, I want to keep my home tidy and clean, free from moldy clothes and smelly soccer cleats. I think we all want our homes to be clean. Ultimately, we want our homes to be safe, welcoming, warm, peaceful, joyful, healthy. We want a home where family life can thrive. And in an attempt to create this kind of space, we keep out anything that might corrupt it, like smelly shoes and moldy clothes. Humanity once had a perfect home, a perfect place where we could rest and be at peace, a home where all of our needs were being met, a home where we found ourselves fully alive. It was a home where there was no death and no disease, no decay or no corruption. It was a perfect place. It was the most beautiful home we could ever imagine. It was the Garden of Eden. And in this place, Adam and Eve, man and woman, had everything they could ever need, physically, emotionally, relationally, spiritually. The Garden of Eden was where Adam and Eve had perfect communion with God. They walked with him. They talked with him. Basking in the presence of their creator, they enjoyed their perfect home. But sin entered this home, this garden. Adam and Eve chose to disobey God. They wanted to be like God. They wanted to decide for themselves what was right, what was wrong, what was good, what was bad. They wanted to live outside the parameters that God gave them. This is sin. And like our homes, there could be no sin in the garden. Sin was the musty, mildewy, smelly clothes and cleats that invade our spaces. Sin is dirty and unclean. Sin corrupts and spoils. Sin devastates and sin devours. And so God sent Adam and Eve out, outside the garden, outside the gate. He sent them outside into the wilderness, into a new home, a home that lacked the security that the garden had, a home that lacked the provision that the garden provided. It lacked the closeness with God that they had enjoyed in the garden. Yes, sin drove us out of the wilderness, outside the gates. It is our consequence. Brokenness, conflict, hardship, disease, pain, death. Life outside the gates has become our home. In Hebrews chapter 13, it stresses that Jesus suffered outside the gate. Hebrews 13:12 reads, "So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood." Even tonight, the crosses that began on the stage, they have moved outside the room. They've moved outside the doors. They've moved outside the gates. Outside is where death took place in Jerusalem. Outside the gates is where the crucifixion happened. Outside the gates, outside the city, this is where death reigns. This is where Jesus died. And I think there is something very significant about that. Something that's worth our pondering as we gather on this Good Friday, this day of Christ's death. Something significant in Christ being crucified outside the gate. You see, throughout Scripture, sinners were sent outside the gates. Murderers and thieves were sent outside the gates. Those who disrespected their parents were sent outside the gates. Those who swore to their neighbor were sent outside the gates. Those who injured the innocent, who mistreated the poor, they were sent outside the gates. And others lived outside the gates as well. Not just sinners, but the sick. Lepers lived outside the gate. Those with disease lived outside the gate. The disabled, the destitute, they lived outside the gate. And like Adam and Eve, those who live outside the gates face hardship and toil, sadness and pain, death and despair. No one wants to live outside the gate. No one. But outside the gate is where we live. Outside the garden. This is our reality. And we long to go back inside. We ache to go back into right relationship with our Creator. We want to go back in where it's safe and secure, where there's no more crying and no more pain and no more death. Oh, we want to be back inside the garden, back inside the gate, back inside with our Creator. But we're sinful people. How are we going to re-enter the garden? How are we going to go back into the city? How are we going to go back into the through the gates and regain our right relationship with God? In the Old Testament, in Leviticus chapter 16, God instituted the Day of Atonement. The day where once a year the high priest, after making animal sacrifices, would take the blood and enter the Holy of Holies, enter the place where God's presence dwelt, and sprinkle blood upon the altar and upon the mercy seat and the Ark of the Covenant. It was a way of making atonement for the sin of God's people. And when he came out, he would grab a goat, a live goat, and he would place his hands on the head of that goat, and he would confess the sins of the people. And confessing the sins and the transgressions and the uncleanliness of God's people, he would symbolically place those sins on the head of that goat, and then they would open up the city gates, and they would send that goat outside. They would send that goat outside the gates into the wilderness to find death. See, on Good Friday, Jesus became our ultimate sacrifice. On Good Friday, Jesus became our ultimate atonement. That taking our sin, our shame, our guilt, our transgressions, that Jesus took these things upon himself as he took a crown of thorns upon his head, and carrying his cross outside the city walls, outside the gate, he took our sins upon himself and allowed himself to be beaten and mocked and nailed to the cross so that we could be free, so that we could be healed, so that we could re-enter the garden again, so that we could once again be in right relationship with our God. Jesus took our sins outside the gates so that we could be let in, so that we could enjoy right relationship with our Creator again. Jesus took the place of the unclean. He took the place of the undeserving. He took the place of the murderer and the thief, of the gossip and the bully. He took the place of the liar and the slanderer, of the greedy and of the prideful. He took the place of you and he took the place of me. And there, outside the city gates, hanging on a cross, he shed his blood so that we might live. He took our sin outside the gates so that we could be let into the glorious garden again and be in right relationship with our God. Jesus took our place outside the gates so that we could be let in.